Okay, we're up to the next parak here in Sefer Malachim Beis. We're up to parak Vav. As we continue with the Nisim of Elisha, as Rashi again says, as he did at the beginning of the last parak, Nisim Shana'asulo Mesader V'Holech. If you look in the Abarbanel and the Malbim, they go through listing off, this is number 12, this is number 13, this is number 15, all the different Nisim that we've had over the last couple of parakim with Elisha. Probably there's no one in Tanakh that we have cataloged someone who has done so many Nisim, both in the personal level, for individuals, and for the Tzibor, right? Elisha is unique in that regard, tucked away here in Sefer Malachim Beis, which many people don't even focus on or get to learn. Baruch Hashem, we're able to learn it together. So, what does this story tell us? This parak, the Bnei Anavim say to Elisha, there's not enough room. Not enough room where we are. You know, we have to go build a new base medrash. We'll have to see why they say that. Let's go to the Yardain and find some wood, and we'll build there. Fine, he says. Elisha says, go. One of them said, no, you come with us. You come with us. He says, okay, I'll come with you. They come to the Yardain, they're chopping wood, and all of a sudden, one of them is chopping a wood, and the metal falls off, flies off the axe which he is using, and falls into the water, and he starts screaming, "Bahu Shaul, it's borrowed, and I have nothing to pay back, and I'm poor, what am I going to do?" The Ishalokim, Elisha says, where did it fall? He points to where it fell. Elisha chops a piece of wood, puts the piece of wood on the exact spot under the water. The wood sinks, and the metal axe head floats up, and he's able to take it and have it. Nace number one of the parak. Nace number two. Now we have three different stories, as we had in the last parak too. The king of Aram is fighting. Guess he wasn't convinced by the last parak, the whole story with Naaman. He's fighting again with Am Yisrael. And he says, you know what? Let's try to hide. So he goes to a place, Ploni Almoni, and I'm going to hide there, and I'm going to wait for the king of Israel to go by. Elisha knows about this, but Nevuah, he sends messages to Yehoram, not because Yehoram is a great tzaddik, but because he's the king of Israel, and Elisha received Nevuah to tell him it wasn't time for him to be punished yet. So he's Shamer, he says, don't go to that spot, he's hiding there. Don't go to that spot, he's hiding there. And over and time again, he gives him this warning, and the king of Aram is very angry. He says, what is happening here? Is there an informant here amongst me? And they say, no, there's just Navi B'Yisrael. Elisha, he could tell you even what you're doing in your bedroom. And he says, really? Let's go get him. So they go get him. Where is he? He's in Dothan. So he sends horses and chariots to surround the city of Dothan. So what happens? The Mishareis of the Ishalakim wakes up one morning, and he looks outside. He sees they're surrounded. He runs back into Elisha and says, Elisha, we're surrounded. What are we going to do? Elisha says, don't worry. Look around. We're more than them. What do you mean we're more than them? Elisha allows the Na'ar to view spiritual chariots of fire. Similar, another similarity between Elisha and Elio. And he says, don't worry. He davens to Hashem. Elisha says, please let this nation become blinded. Basan Veirim. And they all become blind, and they don't know what to do, and they don't know where to go. Elisha goes over to them, the enemy, and he says, Lozu Aderech Velozu Ha'ir, right, which is a phrase that's taken out of this parak. He says, come follow me, I'll show you where the man is that you're looking for. They have no choice, they can't see anything. So he takes them to the middle of the Jewish presence, into Shomron. V'kavom Shomron, they come, Elisha says to Hashem, okay, open their eyes. Click, the switch is switched, and Hashem opens their eyes, and they are in Shomron, and they say, what? How did we get here? And Yehoram, surprisingly, says to ask permission from Elisha, okay, should I kill him? Elisha says, no, we took them as captives, right? We're going to take them, they have no hope, and they're surrounded. No, give them bread and water and send them out, and they'll learn their lesson. So that's what he did. He gave them bread and big suda, and he sent them back. Part two. Part three, Achrechein, Ben-Hadad, the king of Aram, again comes and makes a siege around Shomron. It is a terrible, terrible famine. There's no food anywhere. And the king of Israel is walking on the Choma. Yoram is walking on the wall. And a woman screams out, help me, help me. And he says, what? He says, it's not fair. I have no food. The king says, what? Tell me more. The woman says, I made a deal last night with my neighbor that tonight we'll eat my son. And the next night we'll eat her son. And we ate my son. And now she's backing out of her deal that she's not giving me her son to eat. The king hears this, he rips his clothing, he cries out, and he says, Koyasi, he says, what's happening here? He says, you know what? I want Elisha to be killed. He blames Elisha for all of this. Elisha's sitting in his house and learning, and Yehoram sends a messenger to try to kill him. Elisha obviously knows about this benevuah beforehand, and he says, this son of a murderer is trying to murder. He says, close the door when they come. They close the door, and the Malach comes, and there is the last line of the Perek has some type of conversation, not exactly who is talking there, as we will see the Mefarshim explain, but that is the end of the Perek before we get to the next Perek, Perek Zion, which discusses the four Mitzorayim, the Haftorah for Parshas Mitzorah, that will become in time. Be'ez Hashem. Okay, so let's get back to the beginning of this Perek. So, Vayomru B'nei Hanaviim, the B'nei Hanaviim say to Elisha, there's no room here. What happened? Why is there all of a sudden no room here? So, Rashi quotes the Gemara in Sota Daf Mem Zayin says that when Gehazi was with Elisha, so he did not allow too many Talmidim to come into the Beis Medrash. This is not like Rabbi Gamliel. We know the Gemara in the fourth Perek in Brachas, Rabbi Gamliel had an approach, an educational philosophy that unless you're Tocho Kaboro, you can't come into the Beis Medrash. That's not why Gehazi did it. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky says here, he did it because he wanted to be unique. He wanted to be the only student. He didn't want Elisha to have too many students. So that's why he kept them out. But now that he was banished from the land, he had Saras, he's not around anymore, so that's why all the Talmidim came in, and all of a sudden it's full, and they need a bigger Beis Medrash. So they go, and they go towards the Yarden. Elchanan Yarden. Let's go to the Yarden. Why to the Yarden? The Abarbanel says, well, they all knew that the chariot of fire of Elio went up at the Yarden, so maybe they felt that that would be a good place to be inspired and hopefully gather nevuah. Bavrsha nilkach elyo shama ra'u sheyimsa ba'oso makom yoser shefa ukdusha rabba. So if you're going to build it anywhere, they went, fine. So they go, and Elisha gives them a bracha, fine, go. But then they say, no. Vayomer ha'echad. One of them says, ho'el na v'lecha la'esavadecha. No, come with us. Who's the one? Who's the one that says that? And Elisha says, fine. So some Mefarshim explain more in the Achronim than the Rishonim. We're talking about Yonah. Yonah ben Amittai, who was a Talmud of Elisha, he's the one that says it. And interesting, we'll get back to Yonah in a few minutes. Vayelech itam, so Elisha goes with them. They come to the Yarden, they're chopping wood, and what happens? A barzel falls, as we mentioned, the axe head falls in, and someone screams, Aha, Adoni, who shows borrowed is borrowed. So continue what we said before, maybe this is still Yonah. Yonah was the one that this happened to. And the Ishalakim says, where did it fall? He takes a piece of wood, he puts it on that spot, and the barzel floats up. What exactly happened here is not clear. We'll mention it in a second, but in general terms, amazing, fascinating, maybe this is a remez that Yonah was also going to go down to the water and eventually come back up. If it is really Yonah, that's a very beautiful parallel. But there's a machlokes rishonim, what exactly happened here? Because the pasuk says, Vayar'ehu et ha-makom, he showed him the spot. Vayiksav eis, he chopped a piece of wood. Vayashlach shama, he threw it there. Vayatsav ha-barzel, and the barzel floated up. So some rishonim say that the Radak says this, that really Elisha chopped and created a new axe handle. He put it in the water. The handle then reconnected with the top of the axe, the metal part. Why didn't you just use the old axe handle? So the Radak says, when you do an ace, you want to do it with something new. He quotes earlier from Perek Beis as well. So that is one idea, that it really was a new handle, and that means that the handle didn't sink. It didn't sink, it was just that the metal went up. And as we read the Psukim, it says, Vayashlech Shama, he threw it there, Vayatsav HaBarzel, and the Barzel floated up, which is what the understanding is of the Radak and others. The Abarbanel does not like that pshat. He says, no, why would you have to throw anything? Just make the metal fly up. Really, what happened here, beautiful, the Abarbanel says, is that he threw wood. Wood generally floats. Metal generally sinks. What Elisha did here was to show all that Hashem's in charge of everything. And he threw a wood to show the exact opposites could happen. The wood is going to sink, and the metal is going to float. Kasha Yered Shama Ha'etz, he says, Sha'etz haya kal tzalal b'mayim, behefech tivo, v'habarzel sha'ya kaved yitzef l'mala. L'horos to teach us, kikifi hayacholos ha'eloki, yiyu advarim. Whatever Hashem wants, ve'en lem teva acher, there's no teva separate from what Hashem wants, kiyim ha'nitva b'hem b'chachmas bar'om, sh'yuchal l'shan osam kishi yirtze. Whatever Hashem wants, that is what happens. And this reminds us, of course, of the Gemara in Tainus Daf Chafei, with the daughter of Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, when she comes crying to her father, and it was already Shabbos, and she says, Chafei amar Aleph, the language Amrole, kli shel chometz is chalaf mi v'kli shel shemen. I use vinegar instead of oil. V'yiglach mi min oil l'shabbos, and it's already Shabbos. I can't switch it. I use vinegar. It's going to go out in a second. Amrole biti, sister, my daughter, don't worry. Ma ichpat lach. Misha amar l'shemen v'yidlog, hu yomar l'chometz v'yidlog. The same God who said oil should light can say chometz should light. Don't worry about it. So that's exactly the point here. The same God that says wood will float can say wood will sink. And the same God that says metal sinks will say metal floats. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge. Interesting line in the Margolius HaShas on that Gemara quotes a story from the Imre Emes. That when the Imre Emes took over as the Rebbe after the Sfas Emes, he quoted this Gemara. Misharma l'shem v'yidloch hu yomar l'chometz v'yidloch. And he related it to the Gemara in Chulin. On Daf Kuvhei, where it says, Mar Ukva says that I am like vinegar compared to my father, who is like wine. In the context of Basa B'Challah, my father waits 24 hours between Fleishiks and Milchiks, I only wait 6 hours. But that's the remez of my father's wine and I'm vinegar. So the Imre Emes says that really he's vinegar compared to the Sfas Emes, who's like wine. But you know what? HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help. Misha Amar L'Shemen V'Yidlok, the one who says to the Shemen, to my father, and lit him on fire. So too, he will say he could give koach to the vinegar, to me, also to light. But that's the Abarbanel's pshat on this Gemara, on this pasuk, that it was opposite. The wood sunk, and the metal floated up. So after it floated up, Vayomar HaRemlach, the Navi Hashem, Elisha says, pick it up. Fine, first miracle. So you see also from that miracle, there were miracles done in Elisha's litany and list of miracles, both for the individual and for the nation. This was a purely individual. You know, he needed his axe back. And now the rest of the parak is for the nation. Most of it. Melech Aram Hayah Nilcham B'Yisrael. The king of Aram was fighting. Let's encamp in the Ploni Almoni in a no-name place. Nobody will know and will be able to secretly attack the king of Israel. And keep in mind, we're Shomron and all everything we're talking about here is north. We haven't focused on in a couple of prakim Malchei Yehuda. Let's keep that in mind. This is all Melech Yisrael and Achav and Yehoram that we're into now. So Elisha sends a message to Yehoram: don't go there. Kisham Aram Nechitim. Aram is hiding there, and the Melech Yisrael. He doesn't just not go there. He wants to make sure Elisha's telling the truth. He wants to test him. The place where he told them not to go. Not once, not twice. Very often. He kept doing it. He kept switching it. And in that way, he was able to test him. And the king of Aram got very frustrated. He was very upset. And he says, what's going on here? Tagidu li mimi shalanu melech Yisrael, who's on the other side, which spy is here? Vayomer echad me'avadav lo aduni amelech. Not true, ki Elisha Navi, Asher b'Yisrael yagid. They all knew Elisha. They all heard about the miracles. The king of Aram was more stubborn than them. They say the king of the Navi of Israel can tell you Asher t'taber b'chader mishkavecha. What you're doing, so he says, L'churu eichahu, go find him, and the pashtus, go capture him. Go surround him and kill him. That's what it sounds like. If you look in the Mefarshim, though, it's very strange. If he knew where he was, oh, he's hiding, so how in the world did the king of Aram think that they were going to capture him? How'd they think that? He knows everything. So the Al-Shech HaKadosh explains, no, he wasn't, it was just the opposite. He was going to capture him in order to give him covet, in order to get him on his side. Doesn't sound that way, but that's what you have to say. So he says, where is he? He's in Dosan. Vayishlach Shama, we know Dosan, near Shechem, we know that from the story of Yosef. Vayishlach Shama Susim Varechev Vachayal Kaved. He says horses, chariots. Vayavo Alayla Vayakifu Alayir. They surround the city. Vayashkei Mishareis. The Mishareis Ishalakim gets up in the morning, and there's a whole army surrounding the city. Vayomer Naaru Elav Ahaduni Eicha Nase. What are we going to do? It's the same word, right? The king of Aram said Eicha. Where? And now he says Eicha, Eicho, and Eicha. What are we going to do? Vayomer Altira. Says Elisha, don't worry. Ki Rabim Asher Itanu Me'asher Osam. We're greater. Vayispalel Elisha vayomar, Elisha David that says to Hashem, Pekachnu aseinov, let this nar see. And he opens, Vayivkach Hashem as enei hanar, v'inei hahar malei susim v'rechav esh p'svivos Elisha. He sees chariots and horses of fire surrounding Elisha. The question is, Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz asks in the Sichas Musar, what was this nace needed for? This nace didn't do anything. The chariots and the horses of fire didn't hurt Aram. They were purely there just to show the Na'ar and to calm him so he's not nervous. What did we need that for? So some explain, the Ralbag explains, well, Elisha didn't want him to start screaming and then get the whole city up in arms. But on a deeper level, says the Sichus Musar, in Mamar Tzadi Dalid, because we know there's an Isser in the Torah. V'lo yimases levav echav. A person can't show a lack of emuna and bitachon. And this was a lack of a bitachon by the Na'ar. And even though it wasn't Elisha, the Nes was going to happen b'schus Elisha by himself, but still, explains the Rav Chaya Shmulevitz, that will affect. V'apagam b'midas ha'bitachon shel Na'ar, sikein af as Elisha. The pagam and the midas bitachon of the child, even is mesakin Elisha. The Yalkein, right, everything is in the proximity, right? There's a story in the Gemara that there was one time there was a murder a couple of mil away from one of the Amoraim, and Eliyahu HaNavi didn't talk to him for weeks. But why? Because how could there be a murder within your proximity? So here, it affects on Elisha too. Explains the Sichas Musar, the first nase occurs so that the heart of the Na'ar is strengthened. And then the next nase is done for the salvation. So that is what happened. So he shows Elisha, he shows this Na'ar the fires. Vayeridu elav ha'yispala Elisha l'Hashem, and then they go down and Elisha davids and says, Hachnas agoya zebesan ve'irim, please smote them with blindness. Not exactly blindness, but at least the Mesudas David says, Heder ha'ri'iyah v'ha'hakara ha'amitis. Blind them and let them not have a clarity and recognition proper. Right, so he says, Vayakem Basan Veirim, that's what he does, Kidvar Elisha, like Elisha does. The Mishmat Zozov says interestingly, so what happens here, the Na'ar was able to see something Ruchani, and the Aram was not able to see something Gashmi. Right, exactly the opposites that were there. It's also Rabbeinu Bachai in the Parshas Vayikra in Perek Hey, Pasuk Tezvav, says we find many times in Tanakh that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is more makpid on the covet of his children, of Bnei Yisrael, than his own covet. We find the opposite also. Yisrael Raditshev always says that Hashem's worried about us and we're worried about Hashem. That's the tefillins on Brachas Davav. But then here it says, he gives examples where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is more makpid. For example, by Avram Avinu, he says, Makal El Cha'a, or those who curse you, I will A'or, which is a very strong Lashon. And he says, Uvoza Yekalu, which is a lesser of a Lashon. Or we had earlier, Yerav Menavat was Makriv Lavodizara. Nothing happened. But when he tried to reach out his hand to Ido Hanavi on the Mizbeach, his hand dried up. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was more lama, Chachas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Al-Kavah Nevi'ov, Yosef Mikavah Atzmo. And then right here, Chel Shel Melech Aram, the army of Aram, they didn't get blinded, Lo Hiku B'San Ve'erim B'Vo'am K'negat HaKadosh Baruch Hu, K'shoy Ho'chon L'Bati To Avosam. When they're doing Avodah Zarah in their temples, Hashem doesn't blind them. U'K'shebo K'negat Elisha, L'Tovso. But when they come to Elisha, so that's it. They get Vayakal Basan Beirim, because don't start up with the Nevi'im and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's children. So after they became blind, Elisha says to them, Loze Haderek, Veloze Ha'ir, you got the wrong road and the wrong city. Luchu Acharai, follow me, and I will take you. And he takes them to Shomron, which we know is the capital of the northern kingdom. Vehi Kavom Shomron, Vayomer Elisha says, okay, Hashem, Pekachet Eine Eile V'Yiru, let him see, Vayivkach Hashem Eseinehem, Vayiru, V'Hinei B'Toch Shomron. So then says Yehoram Ha'akeh Akeh Avi. Amazingly, he uses a respectful term. He calls Elisha his father. He says, "Could I smote them?" And he says, "No." Lo takeh hasher shavisa bachar b'chov v'kashcha tamakeh. You didn't do this. It was all a miracle, right? You expect to kill them? Sim lechem u'mayim lefneim. Give them bread and water. V'yochlo v'yishtu. Then they'll leave and they won't start up with you. And that's exactly what happened, at least for the time being. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky has a crucial ha'ara on this parak, and really it's about all of these prakim. And that is, seems to be a major difference between Elisha and Moshe Rabbeinu. Elisha does nisim whenever he wants. He does it, he calls out for an ace, the ace does it. Make him blind. Here they're blind. Do this, do that. Boom, 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 boom. He's independently powerful. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he wanted an ace, he had a daven for it, and eventually Hashem listened. Right, what happened? Moshe Rabbeinu is They're starving! So Hashem sends down the man. They're on meat! He sends down the slav. Right? They, every time, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu does it. So, why is that? On the surface, it seems like Moshe Rabbeinu is worse. Can't be. It's hanhagas shone legamre. Eitz l'alisha me'achas sheheklet al pidas torah so shakach yish lifol. Once he decided this is what has to be done, Hashem agrees with him. Moshe Rabbeinu v'chol pam sheyetzarach lasos davar ma'avar klal Yisrael hayashol b'Hashem ma'lasos. He has to decide how to do it. And what? There's only one time Moshe Rabbeinu did it himself and said, this is what's going to happen, and Hashem had to be maskim. And that is when he said by Korach, if Hashem creates something, and Hashem listens, why? Why can't? So explains to Yaakov beautifully. It's so ironic, but it's beautiful. HaKadosh Baruch Hu more identified with Moshe than any other human being in history. Moshe was kaviyachol as close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as possible, as the saying goes, and Rabbi Yaakov points out in the footnote, this original source for this saying is unclear, Shechina midaberes mitol grono. Moshe didn't have an atzmius, he didn't have an independence, he was the pure klisharis of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Memela, he can't decide, he's all HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it all has to be from Hashem. Ironically, he loses his independence. Elisha was independent. But because he was independent and he reached perfection being independent, so he was able to demand and prophesize and in that way bring it down. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is maskim al yado. B'nimsa, Shemosh Rabbeinu, ayachelik min maharechas. Shakadosh Baruch Hu, hinegas klai yisrael, mitzias Mitzrayim. Right, Moshe Rabbeinu was connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so more so, and that's why he had to totally connect with him and daven and have HaKadosh Baruch Hu do it in all the stories, in contrast to Elisha. Amazing. The question seems like one way, and the answer flips it on its head. Okay, third story in the chapter, Vayachrechein, Ben-Hadad, the king of Aram, gathers, and there's a terrible siege and eventually a famine around the northern kingdom, around Shomron. And the story that Yehoram is walking on the walls, looking around, and everything is very expensive, there's hardly any food, and the king says to the woman who's screaming, what do you want, Malach, Matamar Isha, Zosamar, Allah, Eli? And they tell the tragic story. Yesterday, this woman said, we're going to split the kids, and she's not splitting hers. Machlok has Rishonim, the Ralbag, the Radak, were they both dead already, and they were just eating the meat? The Rachman al-Fan, the flesh? Or they were both close to dead. So the first woman said, we killed my son last night. And she said, we're going to kill her son, and now she doesn't want to kill her son. Fatachli Espana. Rashi says, no, he was already dead, and now she's not sharing the flesh. Rachman al-Tzlan. So even that gets to Yehoram. Kishmo HaMelech has Divrei Ha'isha Vayikras Begadav. He tears his clothing in public, which the Gemara in Titus talks about, whether that's a good idea that affects all of Klal Yisrael when a public person seems to give up hope. Which is amazing, Yehoram, he realized that he has no control and Hashem's in charge, but it still did not make him change his ways. Vayomer, and instead he says, Ko yasa liyashalokim v'ko Yosef, im yamod rosh Elisha ben Shavar alav hayom, if Elisha doesn't get killed today or die today, I'm finished. Right? Al-Shech explains, he was so upset because he had the chance to kill these Ammonites, and Elisha told him not to. V'Elisha yoshev v'beiso, and Elisha sitting with the zakenim in his house. The messenger comes, Elisha faces him because he knows exactly what he's coming for. Odenim daber imam b'nei malach yorede love, the end of the parak. The malach goes down by Yomer and says, Hine zos hara'a me'eis Hashem, ma'ochel Hashem od. What exactly is being said there? Who is talking is not clear. Maybe it's the shliach talking, right? It's so bad, it's from Hashem, what can we do? Even Davidic is not going to help. Others say, no, it's Elisha talking. Elisha's talking and saying, what, you wanted to daven? Just stop to daven. You have to change your ways. You have to do tshuva. You need a lot more. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's in charge. But if you do that, you know, there won't be a famine anymore. And as we will see, Elisha answers at the beginning of the next parak that the famine will be removed. Parak Gimel, in the next parak, starts off the Haftarah for Metzorah about the four lepers. But we will get to that as we continue these exciting prakim of Elisha, right, the largest stories, the largest Navi, with a section of stories in these, in the Sefer Malachim Beis, are these stories of Elisha. Okay, we'll stop here.